Good morning. Okay, so at the end of this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayishlach, Rachel finally has a second child. And the Pasuk Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Tet Zayin tells us, Vayasumi Beit El, Vayhi Od Gevarat Ha'aretz Lavo Ephrasa, they're coming to Ephrat. Vatelid Rachel, and Rachel has a child, she goes into labor, Vatikash Bilidata, and she's having difficulty during her childbirth. Vayhi Bahakshota Bilidata Vatomarla. And when she's having difficulty during the childbirth, the midwife turns to her and she says, "You know, don't worry. This too is a boy." And when she's about, as
her soul is leaving her, she calls this child Ben Oni, and the father. Namely, Yaakov calls this child Binyamin. Vatamad Rachel vatikaver baderech Ephrasa, he beis lechem, and she dies there, and she's buried there on the way to Ephrat, which is Beit Lechem. Vayetzav Yaakov matzeva al kivrata, he matzevet kivrat Rachel ad hayom. And so, what does Yaakov do? He makes a tombstone, he makes a demarcation on that spot, and this is the place where Rachel is buried today. And the Medrash Rava tells us. Vayetzev Yaakov Matseva, that Yaakov puts this Matseva, Vatamar Rachel, Vatikaver B'derach Ephrat, that she dies on the, and she's buried on the way to Ephrat. Ma'ra'a Avinu Yaakov Likvor Rachel B'derach Ephrat. Why did Yaakov see that he should bury Rachel here on the way, in the path, to Ephrat? Ela Tafa Yaakov Avinu Shahagalios Asidot La'avor Sham, Lefichach Kavrasham. Yaakov Avinu saw that in the future, the Jewish people on the way to exile, they would pass that point. And therefore, he buried her there. Kedesha Tehei Mevakeshes Aleihem Rachamim. So that Rachel would be there to be able to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachamim to have compassion and to have mercy on Bnei Yisrael. Hadahu Zechtiv, like the Pasuk says, Kol birama nishma, a voice on high is heard. Nihi bichi tamurim, a crying. Rachel mevakal bana. Rachel is crying for her children. So Yaakov chose that site because he foresaw that in the future his children are going to pass this point on the way to exile, on the way into Galut, and therefore he buried her there precisely at that in that place so that she should daven for them, like the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says. Rachel mevaka al baneha. Rachel cries for her children. And Yaakov set up a matseva, a monument on her grave, so that they would be able to recognize where she was buried. They would be able to stop there and to daven and to ask her to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on their behalf. And this is in fact something that Yaakov explains to Yosef before he dies in Parshas Vayechi. He says, Va'ani bevoi mi padan mesa alai Rachel be'eretz Kanan baderech. You know, and I'm going to Padan Aram, and Rachel dies on the way. And I bury her there on the way to Ephrat, which is Beit Lechem. And Yaakov says, you know, when I came from Padan, Rachel died to me in the land of Canaan. You know, and on the way to Canaan, and therefore I buried her there. And Rashi comments. Yaakov, remember, this is Yaakov's, you know, the last things he's telling the Shvatim, and he's telling Yosef before he dies. And one of the things he asks them is, please, you know, when you leave Mitzrayim, take my body with me. Take my body with you. That was Yosef. He says, please don't bury me in Mitzrayim. Yosef asked to take the bones, but Yaakov said, do not bury me here. And so, you know, he says to Yosef, you know, I know kind of what you're thinking. You know, I buried your mother on the way, you know, and I didn't take her with me. You know, and even though I'm being matriach you and asking you to leave Mitzrayim to bury me in Eretz Yisrael, well, I didn't do that for your mother. And I didn't even bring her to the city. L'achnisa la'aretz. You know, she's literally buried on the way. Not even, I didn't even take her a little further to Beit Lechem to bury her there. V'yadati she'esh b'libcha alai. And I know that, you know, it might be hard for you in your heart. You know, there's some feeling that, like, you know, why did you leave my mother in the middle of the way?
Did you have a nevuah to bury Rachel there?
Okay, we're going to get. Aval dalecha, you have Rashi right here. Sha'al pi hadibor kivarti hasham. You should know that it wasn't stam, I wasn't lazy, it wasn't that I didn't want to take her further, but it was al pi hadibor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to bury her there. Shetehela ezra levana, kishiyigla osam nubu zaradan, you ovrim derech sham. I knew that in the future, when they would go into exile, when Nuvuzar Adan would take them there, that's during Golas Bavel, they would pass this way. Yatata Rachel al kivra v'boche u'mevakesher aleihem rachamim, and Rachel would be able to go and to go out and beseech Hakadosh Baruch Hu and ask for his compassion and mercy on her children. Shneimar kol b'rama nishma v'gomer, like the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, a voice on high is heard. Hakadosh Baruch Hu meshiva, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu answers to Rachel. Yesh sachar lefulaseich in Hashem, there is reward for your deeds. Vishavu banim legvulam, and because of you, your children will return from their exile. So Rachel is specifically buried in this place so that she can daven for Bnei Yisrael as they go down to Golus. Yaakov's telling Yosef, it's not happenstance. It didn't just happen and I said, oh, I can't take her any further. It's too much. It's going to be matriach. It's going to be too difficult. But rather, it was bekavana. It was intentionally. Because he saw from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in the future they would be exiled there. Hashem said, this is the place to bury her so that she can ask for rachamim on her children. Yeah.
So where she was buried, there was a cover, there was a headstone. Like, how do people notice that?
That's exactly what the pasuk says. Why he put a matseva there. He put a matseva, he put a monument there, so that it was a demarcation for the future. This is where Rachel Imenu was buried.
And for the present, when they
leaving. 100%, because actually Yosef also stops and davens by his mother's kever. And there's another place where Rachel's burial is discussed. In the Chumash, actually, in last week's Parshas Vayetze, the pasuk says a story that we discussed. Vayelech Reuven b'yemeketzir chitim, and Reuven's going out in the time of the harvest. Vayimatzad Dudaim basadeh, and he finds these Dudaim in the field. Vayaveosam Elea imo, and he brings them to Leah, his mother. Vatamar Rachel Elea, and Rachel says to Leah, Tni li mi Dudaim b'nech, please give me some of the Dudaim of your son. But dudam are these flower as a flower, but a lot of meforshim explain, which we'll explain, is it was like a fertility drug, okay? And then what does Leah say to her? Hama gam bni. You already took my husband. Now you want to take the dudaim of my child? Vatomer Rachel. So Rachel says, so therefore, Yaakov will sleep in your tent tonight in exchange for the dudaim of your son. Okay, they kind of made an exchange. You give me these dudaim, and I will give you, you know, the night with Yaakov, as Yaakov would rotate tents. And Rashi there comments, Shalom. Hayitash kivat laila zu va'anino ten notnalach tachat dudaim bincha. They made this exchange, the exchange of Yaakov being with her for the night, for the Dudaim. Vilafisha zilzala b'mishkav hatzadik lo zachta lihikaver imo. You know, because Rachel was mizalzel, she gave up this privilege of being with her husband that night, because she made light of being with this tzadik, she was not privileged to be buried with him. Okay? So then, what is the reason that Rachel is buried there? You know, was it to daven for her children, or was it because she was mezalzel with being with Yaakov? I mean, we have these two midrashim seem to be contradictory. On the one hand, the first midrash seems to say she needs to be there because she's going to be the one to daven for her children. And then the second one says, no, she's buried there and not in Ma'aris HaMachpelah with Yaakov and the other Avos and Imahos because of this exchange that she made with Leah, because she was Mizalzel, she made light of being with such a tzaddik.
But she wanted the dudah in, you know, to get pregnant.
Okay, we're going to talk about it. To make light, you know, to denigrate. Like Zilzul Horem Amorim. Okay, so also, how is her being buried on the derech, on the way, a midah keneged midah, for what she did with Leah, the dudaim, and giving up the night with Yaakov? How is this midah keneged midah? Oh, you gave up the dudah, you gave up the night with Yaakov for dudah. Therefore, how does that translate into now you have to be buried in this location? Okay, so what's the connection?
Who gives the metrics like that? Rashi.
Okay. In order to understand this, we need to understand the dialogue between Rachel and Leah. Okay, what was this conversation that they had? So let's understand this. Rachel is an akara. She's barren. She has no children. And Leah at this point has four children. You know, but the pasuk tells us that she actually at that point had stopped having children. The pasuk says Vatamod Milades. And now, Reuven, her son, is in the field, and he finds these dudaim, which many mafarshim comment and explain that these dudaim are a fertility drug. They were, you know, to help have children. And so Rav Moshe Mordechai Karp, in his Sefer Vayavinu B'mikra, he explains, V'hine kasher matza b'nasha leya shamdami leid et dudaim samcha ma'od bahem. So when Leah's son found these dudaim, you know, she was so happy because even though she had four children, she had stopped having children. And she was so excited that now she would be able to have more children.
It wasn't
that there was proof. That's what how the Mefarshim explained what the value of what these dudaim were. Okay? Basically, she so wanted to have more children. Why did Leah want to have more children? We see that in the naming of the children. She wanted to come to the point of Hapam Yizavuni Ishi, that my husband is going to make his permanent home with me. Meaning, I am the most important because I have six children. Even though she had children, Rachel was the apple of Yaakov's eye. Rachel was the Akeret Habayit. She was the mainstay. And that was so much what Leah wanted. You know, it's so much so that it's translated into the names of her children. Ubazeh ba'a Rachel ubiksha mimena et skulazu lema'ana ba'asher hi ein la yiladzim klal. So now Rachel comes to her and she says, can I have these dudaim? I don't have any children. I really want children. Va'alzeh hishiva la Hashiva la Leah Khan. And so therefore, what does Leah answer her to her sister's request of, please, I also want to have children. Can you please share these dudaim with me? Is it not enough that you took my husband? Now you have to take from the dudaim of my son? Hello, Yaakov kava aholo eitzel racha. Shiaita ikarit eitzlo. Yaakov's permanent place was in Rachel's tent. She was the ikar. She was the mainstay. Even though Leah was the mother of his children. Leah had four children. So this is basically how they had this divide. Rachel was the mainstay. Rachel was where Yaakov's tent was, but Leah had the children, and she felt this was the reason why Yaakov didn't, you know, divorce her. So one had the love, or felt like she had more of the affection, and one had the children. Leah so desperately wanted more children, so that her husband would love her more, and that he would also establish, you know, his residing place next to her. Nimtza shel Rachel yeshet habal v'lelea yeshet hayaladim. We see that Rachel had the husband and or more of the husband in the relationship, and obviously Leah had more of the children in the relationship. V'ke'et kasher Rachel mevakeshet hududu'im l'tzorach habanim. Nimtza leah amda miladeh Now, what is Rachel asking for? Rachel's asking for the dudan so that she should have children. And Leah stopped having children. So Leah's like, oh my goodness, you are not only going to have the baal, but now you're going to have the children as well. And therefore, you are going to monopolize all of Yaakov's love. 100% of his love is going to be towards you, because not only do you have the love, but now you're going to have children as well. And if she feels like if Rachel has children now, she's, you know, Yaakov's totally gonna, you know, camp himself in her tent, and she'll be totally hated. She'll have nothing. The Medrash in Rus Rava tells us, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Rachel haisa ikaro shall buy it, lefichach v'Rachel akara, ikara shall buy it. Rachel was the mainstay of the house, and therefore we say, the pasuk says Rachel akara, also meaning Rachel ikara. Akara means barren, but if you change the nekudo, it's ikara. She is the most important. She's the mainstay. In contrast, Leah shahaita akara min habayit. Leah, though we know she had children, she was an akara min habayit. She was barren of the home because she didn't have that feeling of Yaakov wanting to be in her tent the way he was in Rachel's tent. Now, Rachel was the ikar. She was the mainstay of the home. She had the close connection with Yaakov, and Leah had the children. So when Rachel asks for the dudaim, for this fertility drug, Leah says, you have the husband. You have his focus. You have his attention. You have his love. Now you also want the children. Meaning, if you're going to have both, then what am I going to be left with? You already have Yaakov's love. Now you want the children. I will be left with nothing. And this was Leah's deepest desire. She wanted to be the mainstay. She wanted to be the primary recipient of Yaakov's love. And we see this clearly in the names that she gave her children. Reuven, her first son, Ra'a Hashem be'ani ki ata ye'avani ishi. Because Hashem has looked at my affliction, for now my husband will love me. Shimon, ki shema Hashem, ki snu anochi, v'yatein li gam etzeh. Hashem heard that I was hated, and he gave me this child as well. And then the next, Levi, ata pamil ve'ishi alai. Now, this time, my husband will be joined to me. She thinks that with every child, now I'm going to get more love. Now I'm going to get more of that affection, which she so desperately desired. And Rachel, on the other hand, was barren. She had no children, and she desperately desired children. So much so that she considered her life not even worth living without them. What does she say to Yaakov? Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph. Havali banim v'ein ayin meis anochi. Give me children, because if not, I'm worthless. I'm considered dead. I have nothing. She so desperately wanted the children. Therefore, 1 second, yeah?
What kind of man was he that he didn't have appreciation for the woman who did bear his children?
No, so that's another discussion. But a lot of the Mephoreshim say, first of all, that it wasn't that she was hated, but, you know, there's always a pecking order. She was number two. So when you feel like there's someone that has more than you, you feel like you don't have. Even though she did have, it doesn't mean that Yaakov hated her. And last week's class, we discussed a different interpretation of what it meant to Snua. But that's a whole nother... 100%. And that's a whole nother discussion. But there are ways to understand that. But I would say in this context, the way of understanding how she felt hated was not that he actually hated her, but that Rachel was loved more. And he so adored her that what she got felt like nothing. It paled in comparison to what Rachel had. Okay. So therefore, according to Rav Karp, Rachel answers Leah. L'chein yishkav imcha halayla tachat dudei b'nech. Rachel gives this answer. Therefore, he will be with you tonight in exchange for these dudaim of your son. She'etzli habanim adifin min habaal. Shem'ein mesa anochi. Shehim ha'ikar. Meaning, what's the discussion? She says to Leah, to me, the most important thing in the world is children. If not, I feel like my life is worthless. I feel like it's not worth living. Mesa anochi, I'm like I'm dead. Because the children are the ikar. V'ani muchana levater al hamishkav v'ha'ol im habal leman hayeladim. Tacha dudei b'nech. And therefore, I am ready to give up
on the husband, the love, and the place in the tent that he has in my tent for what? For the Judaim, for this thing that will give me children. Nimsa shevikuach alef hayala racha imleya ma'adif habal o hayala dim. Basically, what was this discussion about the Duda'im, the love of the you took my husband, now that you want the Duda'im? The discussion was, what is most important to them? Rachel says, the most important thing to me is to have children. And to Leah, the most important thing that she wanted was the love of Yaakov. L'Rachel adifim hayeladim, v'Leah adif mishkan habal. Va'al zeh heshiva Rachel adifi. And that's what she said. Like, Rachel says, no, that's what I want, and therefore I'm willing to give this up. That's what actually Elkanah says to Chana. Halo anochi tov lach me'asara banim. I'm better for you than 10 children, because, you know, there is this concept, you know, in a relationship and a marriage, it's not just for the children, but there's this concept of this close connection between the spouses. And for Leah, that's what she craved. That's what she wanted. For Rachel, all she wanted was the children. And she was willing to give up this love of Yaakov, this place with Yaakov, in order to have the children. And now we can understand this quote-unquote Mida Keneged Mida, this measure for measure that Rachel got. Because she was mizalzel, because she denigrated, because she made light of being with Yaakov. She didn't merit to be buried with him. He gufa hatam shalidida binyan adifi af al habal. Behind the sharesh mashnik barachal al derech efra kamosha amar Yaakov Yosef beparshas vayeshev al pi adibor kivrata sham baderech efrat shahabanim yatzu. Okay, so therefore we can understand now why Rachel wasn't buried with Yaakov. That's exactly what I'm doing. Okay. Because what does it mean? She said that what is the most important thing for her? The children. And therefore, what did she give up? I am first and foremost a mother. And so therefore, she was ready and willing to sacrifice her relationship with Yaakov. But it wasn't just at that very moment, that one night that she sacrificed with Yaakov. She sacrificed it for all of eternity. Because from that point on, Leah is buried and bound to Yaakov for all of eternity. And Rachel is buried Baderech. And we see Baderech, it's so much, we can understand based on this discussion with Leah, and I'll continue in Rav Karp. He says, because what was the point? Shahabanim yitzu legalut ya'avru derech kivra. When they go out to exile, they're going to pass her grave. V'hi tehei ma'ar ma'atira ba'adam u'bizchuta yivash'u k'dechtiv kol barana nishma nihi v'chul v'gomer racha mevaka abaneha. Because when her children go out into galut, she's going to go out for them. She's going to go bad for them. She's going to go beg a Kadosh Baruch Hu, please take care of my children, and it's going to be because of her that they're going to be saved, that they're going to be taken out of the exile. Ve'omer la HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki yesh sechar lefu laseich b'shavu banim legvulam. Hashem says to Rachel, there is reward for your actions. Your children will return from their exile. They will return to their bounds. They will return to Eretz Yisrael. Nimsa sheRachel, he ha'olechat im habanim legala levada, ki Rachel ba'im imaton. We see that Rachel goes with her children to galus. And therefore, Rachel was not buried with, she was not buried with Yaakov. Because to Rachel, the most important thing was the children. Not the place with Yaakov, not the love of Yaakov, but the children. And so therefore, she was willing to give up on that relationship. She was willing to give up on her place to be buried next to Yaakov for all of eternity, in order to have children, in order to take care of her children, and to continuously take care of her children. And that's the reason why we can understand that she wasn't buried with Yaakov Avinu, but she was buried in Beis Lechem. Zohi amida mamasha midas Rachel beatma. This was exactly what Rachel was. This was her midah, the love and the care for the children. And therefore she said, there's nothing else in my life that I need. If I don't have children, meita anochi. I'm worthless. Her whole life, her whole focus was her children. And therefore it was simple for her to make this trade with Rachel. And therefore this trade translated into a trade for all of eternity,
but
that she would not.
It was not a bad trade.
Exactly.
Right. So that's what we're exactly. We're showing that that it's not that it was. Meaning, she was in quote unquote.
Each had a purpose.
They each had their own focus. But it was that it wasn't as important to her to be with Yaakov, and therefore she relinquished that to Leah. What was important to her? To be with her children, and therefore it makes sense.
You could say she made a 100%. So you can't, you know.
No, we're not. I'm not trying to say that it was good or it was bad. Actually, you know, it's interesting. I didn't bring this in, but there's a machlokas in Bereishis about what is the most important. What's the purpose of marriage? We have the pasuk Vayu Lebasar Echad, and there's two opinions of Rashi and Ramban, and one says the purpose is children. You get married. But the Ramban says no. V'hayu l'basar echad is this love and this connection of becoming of coming together, of the relationship that a husband and a wife can have. So it's not that one is. It's just two different things. They're two different people, and each one had their thing that was most important.
Did Yaakov realize that this is what she traded for?
We're just okay. We're just going to save questions, but I know it's such a heated thing, and it's so many things to talk about. But I just want to get through the idea, and then we'll talk about it at the end. Okay. So that's what Rachel did at the moment of choice. She said, first and foremost, I'm a mother. It's the children, and so therefore I'm giving up my place tonight and for eternity. Leah is going to be buried next to, and therefore it's an automatic translation that Leah is the one who's buried with Yaakov. And this is who Rachel was. First and foremost, she was a mama whose only concern is her children. Therefore, she gave up her place for that night and for all of eternity. In fact, the last thing that Rachel does is give birth to a child, literally giving up her own life for it. The pasuk in Perek Lamed Hey, pasuk Ted Zion says, "Vatilid Rachel, vatikash b'lidata." Rachel's having in labor, and she's becoming very weak. It's a difficult delivery. And it's becoming very difficult. And the midwife tries to assure her, and she says, "You know, don't worry. This is also for you, a son." And when she's literally her last breaths of life, what does she do? She names her son Ben Oni. And the Malbim has such a beautiful explanation on these pesukim. The Malbim writes, "Modia tzidkat Rachel, ichnit avol lebanim." We see the greatness of Rachel, how desperately and how much she wanted children. Ad she'amra ve'im ein meita anochi, to the point that she said, "Without them, I'm as if I'm dead. I'm nothing." The hagam she'igia ad shari maves lo samali ba'al zeh. Rakira pen al yide kisho halida yeha vlad nafel o pen hu bilti ben shel kayama. Can you imagine this, ladies? She is on her deathbed, Rachel. And what is she talking about? What is in her mind? What is she thinking about? Not will I make it? Not will I survive? But what's going to be with this child? Right? Is this child going to be a nafel? Will he make it through the delivery, or will he be die at birth? And even if he makes it through delivery, will he be a ben shel kayama? Will he be able to live and grow up? That is her concern. And so what does the midwife turn to her and say? Al tir'i mizeh. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about this. Ki gam zelecha ben. Because this, for you, is also a son. Rotzelamar ben kayama haroi lagadlo. This is a son who's going to be strong, who's going to be roy, that you're going to be able to raise him, or he will be able to be raised. You know, he's not weak. You don't have to worry. You know, that was her concern, her only concern. You can imagine a mother is on her deathbed, and that's the only thing she's thinking about is the child, not me, not my pain, not my suffering, not will I make it, but what is going to be with this child? Will he make it? Will he grow up? What will be? And that was Rachel's whole focus. So much so that the Malbim continues, "Vayhi b'tzeit nafsha," literally at the moment that her soul is leaving her body, Hayadaita al hanolad likrao b'shem. What was she thinking about? She was thinking about the baby. What am I going to name this child? Can you imagine in her last breath of life, that was what she said. That was what she was thinking about. This child. And what does she call this child? Vikara Shimo Ben Oni. She calls him Ben Oni. Many Mefarshim explain this as the son of my affliction, the son of my suffering. But the Malbim says, I said, many Mefarshim explain it as the son of my affliction, the son of my suffering. But the Malbim says something very beautiful. He said, what does Ben Oni mean? Your question. Rotzelamar Ben Kochi, the son of my strength. Shekochi natan lo ki hi meita al yado. He is the son of my strength because I literally gave over all of my strength, my life. I died in childbirth so that he could live. And that's what she called him. I found such a beautiful piece. Aliza Silverstein, a Chabad shlucha in the Ukraine, and she writes, and she just says it so beautifully that even to paraphrase it wouldn't do justice. I just want to read it to you inside. And she says, in a selfless act of love, Rachel taught her sister the private signals that she and her betrothed had arranged, finalizing the destiny. Jacob, of course, eventually discovered the deception. And sometime after the wedding, an identical one occurred. Only this time, Rachel was the bride. Yet for the rest of her life, Rachel would not be her husband's only wife. As great as this act of sacrifice was, Rachel would perform yet a greater one. Years later, Rachel gave birth to her second son. It was a difficult childbirth, one that Rachel sacrificed her life for. Our matriarchs, Sarah, Rivka, and even Chava, were buried in a hallowed cave in the hills of Hebron, Ma'aris HaMachpelah. Buried alongside them were their husbands, Avram, Yitzchak, and Adam. Eventually, Yaakov and Leah would also be laid to rest in this holy spot. Rachel would have loved to lay beside Yaakov in this holiest of spots for all of eternity. As Yaakov's primary and most beloved wife, it was within her rights to be buried beside her husband in place of Leah. Yet Rachel, the ultimate Jewish mother, gave up this privilege for the future of her children. Rachel, a righteous and holy woman, had the ability to foresee events in the future. She saw before her eyes a vision of her children, the Jewish people, some 1,200 years hence. At that time, the Jewish people would be living in the Holy Land, Israel. Alas, she saw they would sin and sin and sin repeatedly, compelling God to punish them. God would destroy the magnificent temple and banish his people into exile. Rachel envisioned the route her children would take. In her mind's eye, she saw hundreds of thousands of Jews, shackled and broken in spirit, being led by the Babylonian general Nebuzaradan back to his homeland. There he'd be able to show off the success of his battles. This sad procession, Rachel saw, would lead the weary Jews past the road where she lay now, on her final moments on earth. If I am buried here, she thought, my children will be able to stop at my grave and pray to the one above. Maybe in my merit, he will answer their heartfelt prayers. And so for the sake of her sinning great-great-grandchildren, many years in the future, Jews who would sin so greatly that they would need to be exiled, Rachel asked not to be buried in the cave of Machpelah with her husband and illustrious ancestors. No, she would give all that up and stay here alone where she'd be able to help her children. Her husband Yaakov heeded her request. Rachel was buried at the side of the road and a monument was set up marking the spot for posterity. God saw Rachel's selfless sacrifice, epitomizing the quality found in all women. She focused only on her children, standing in the background. She let others get the honor and the credit while doing what was required. God watched proudly and took note. Years later, Rachel's prophecy came to pass. The Jewish people indeed unfortunately succumbed to their evil inclinations. They worshipped idols and ignored the pleas of the prophets. God indeed sent the Babylonians to destroy the temple and bring the Jews back with them to Babylonia. And just as she had foreseen, the broken, desperate Jews crowded around Rachel's grave and cried their hearts out. In heaven, a huge tumult ensued as our holy ancestors plead before God to save the Jewish people. Yet God remained silent and turned a deaf ear to their pleas. Suddenly, amidst all the noise, a wail pierced through the heavens. Mama Rachel, hearing her children's cries, began weeping bitterly for her children. She was inconsolable. Her children were in pain. Yes, they had sinned. Yes, they even deserved what was coming to them. But they were her children. Rachel, the epitome of a Jewish mother, could not relax until her children were helped. And God, who ignored the request of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, God, who didn't listen to Sarah, Rivka, and Leah, when he heard Rachel's pleas, could no longer remain hard-hearted. Enough, he lovingly ordered. Mama Rachel, dry your tears. You requested not to be buried in Hebron, where you'd be able to lay in peace and holiness for all times. Since you relinquished your rightful place in the cave of Machpelah in order to help your children, I too will relinquish my honor and help them too. Your children will not remain in exiled forever. They will eventually return to their land. With these words, God altered his plan, rescinding his initial decree, and stillness reigned in heaven once again. Mama Rachel, our ever-loving mother, could now relax. Her children were being looked after. The burial was in fact Rachel's outstanding deed. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, in his Likutei Sichos on Parshas Vayechi, writes when Yaakov explains to Yosef why he buried Rachel b'derech, why he buried her in this place. He writes, Zesha kaveres Rachel b'derech al pi hadibor shetehela Ezrael levaneha. That Yaakov says to Yosef, I buried her on the way because this was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do so that she would be able to help her children. Ein hakavana bazev shenigra mirachal b'shvil tovas bana ela adraba kivan shezehu gu'ulat bana shel rachal haya zeh tovas va'oshreha shel rachal. Like you said, it wasn't that she lost out because she was buried in this place and she wasn't buried in Ma'aras HaMachpelah, but rather, because we're talking about the exile and the redemption of her children, this was her good. This was what Rachel was as a person. Vadaisha Rachel atzma hayta maskemet lekach v'doresha lekach. Obviously, this was what Rachel would have wanted. This is what she would have asked for. Not only would she have grieved, this would have been her lecharchila. This is what Rachel would have wanted. This is because why? Her children were the most important. V'yesh lomar v'zehu kavanat Rashi v'avioet hakatov. And this is, according to Lubavitcher Rebbe, why Rashi brings the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, Yesh sachar lefu'ula seichnu Hashem. There is reward for your pe'ulot, for your actions. Ve'enu maskir shum pe'ula shel Rachel. But it's interesting. The pasuk says that there is reward for your action, but doesn't say what the action was. Ki kavanato lezeh gufa shenikbira b'derech. So what does the Lubavitcher Rebbe say? No, this precisely is the action. What's the great action of Rachel? That she was buried baderech, on the way. Shezeu kadesha tehela Ezrael levaneha. In order, for one reason, why did Rachel want to be buried in this place, not even in a city, literally on the path, so that she could help her children. Tzeh shakadosh baruch hotziva Yaakov la'asokein, hi mishum shezeh, and the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov to do this was because this was Rachel's desire. This is what she wanted. This was it. And to say it in other words, b'keshet rachamim shel Rachel dafka yesh b'kocha lavi et ha'avtacha v'shabu banim l'gulam. Rachel's request for compassion, for mercy on her children, specifically has the power, you know, to bring out this promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they will be returning to their boundaries, b'zchut pu'ula zu, in merit or as a reward for this action, shehi muchana levater al ha'amal dekfura ba'aras ha'machpela kedei shetehei la'ezra levaneha. Because Rachel was willing to give up this special place in Ma'aras HaMachpela in order to be buried here to help her children, therefore it is her cries that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening to. It's through her that Hashem is going to fulfill this promise of Vishavu Banim Legvulam, that your children will once again return to your boundaries. This was Rachel. She wanted to be buried on the road in order to help her children. This is why Hashem told Yaakov to do so, because it was her will and her desire. And this was great, Rachel's great pe'ula. V'yesh sachar l'ful aseich. Her action.
She was able to ask Hashem for rachamim on their behalf because she was willing to give up her place in order to help them. And this is what Yaakov saw in his first encounter with Rachel. Parshas Vayetze, Perek Chaf Tes, Pasuk Tes. We have this scenario. The shepherds are by the well. Odenu midaber imam. And all of a sudden, and Yaakov's talking to the shepherds. The Rachel ba im hatzon. And Rachel is coming with the sheep. Asher la'aviyah kirahi. The sheep, obviously, that belonged to her father. Lavan, because she was a shepherdess. Vayikashera Yaakov et Rachel ba Lavan. Achi imo. And it was when Yaakov saw Rachel, the brother, Rachel, the daughter of Lavan, the brother of his mother, that had so etzon Lavan achimo, vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel, and Yaakov kisses Rachel, vayisad kolo, and he raises his voice, vayefk, and he cries. And Rashi there comments, why does Yaakov cry? Lefi she'tzafa beruach hakodesh she'ina nechneset imo l'kvura. Because Yaakov Avinu saw in the future through Ruach HaKodesh that she, Rachel, would not be buried with him. When Yaakov saw Rachel coming with the sheep, he raised his voice and he cried because she would not be buried with him. Where would Rachel be? Im Hatzon, with the sheep, with her children, with Klal Yisrael, who are compared to the sheep. Because this was Rachel. Mama Rachel. She gave birth to only two of the Shvatim, yet in our eyes, she's the mother of all the Jewish people. Jews come daily to pour out their hearts to our dedicated mother, because Mama Rachel is always listening and always pleading before Hashem on our behalf. And this feature, to do what is necessary for the sake of one's children, is the mark of a Jewish mother. She may stand on the sidelines, yet she remains the true hero. She has no need for public displays of honor, and it's for this reason that a mother passes down the Jewish lineage, right? If a Jewish man marries a not-Jewish woman, the children are not Jewish. But if a Jewish woman marries a not-Jewish man, the children are still Jewish. Because a mother gives the child life to his essence and the title Jew. And the title of Jew is a description of his essence. This is the legacy and the lesson that Rachel left for all of the Jewish mothers. And throughout the generations, mothers have sacrificed to take care and to protect their children. Rudolf Huss, the brutal commandant of Auschwitz, noted in his autobiography that time and time again, he witnessed mothers with laughing or crying children who went to the gas chambers. He recalled a young woman who, as she stood at the gas chamber, said, "I deliberately avoided being chosen for labor because I wanted to take care of my children and go through this in full awareness of what was happening. I hope it won't take long." This is the koach of the Jewish mother, to be able to give everything, even her life, for her children. Her ultimate job is to care and protect for them. Just as Rachel gave her life to give life to Binyamin, and she gave her burial place in Ma'aretz HaMachpelah to be there for her children. It is this sacrifice and devotion that is felt by all of Rachel's children, and therefore so many come to daven at her graveside. When the State of Israel was negotiating one of their agreements with the Palestinians following the Oslo Accords, the question came up, what should be done with Beit Lechem? Beit Lechem is a Palestinian city. And though Kever Rachel would remain under the Israeli control, the Palestinians would have control of the road to Kever Rachel, not ensuring a safe travel to Kever Rachel. Basically, even though we had Kever Rachel, we wouldn't be able to get there. And there was public outrage, and many tried to persuade Rabin to keep control of this road to ensure that we would be able to travel to Kever Rachel safely. Rav Lau told Rabin, he says, "Rachel is our mama, and one does not abandon his mother. Rachel is our mother who never gave up on us, and cared for us, and so we do the same." There's a story told that when Rav Chaim Shmulevitz came to Kever Rachel, he said, "Mama, Hashem says, Mini kole mi bechi, stop, you know, hold back your tears, stop crying, Mama Rachel. Refrain from crying, but I beg you, vain, Mama Rachel, vain, cry for us, Mama Rachel, cry and keep on crying for us."
And so we ask you, Mama Rachel, to cry for us again, to continue as you have cared for, to care for us, and so Hashem will fulfill his promise to you of Vishavu Banim Legvulam, that we will once again be able to return to our boundaries in the great tzuchus of our great Mama Rachel.